You can breed dogs and get different dogs, but you can't get a cat from a dog. Come on. Do what you want with your chickens, but you're not going to get it. That egg's not going to hatch out a monkey. Come on now. There is not one in the archaeological evidence, and now since Darwin, you know, old brother Darwin, since Darwin, there have been tens of thousands of archaeological sites. They have been all over the world on every continent, and they have not found one speck of evidence that proves evolution. Not just man, but any species. So, well, the dinosaurs came from birds. Well, my God, those were big birds. I mean, it's really just ridiculous. But the theory, but the scriptural truth about the flood is literally seen on every continent. The things that are buried, the way they're buried. We could talk about this so much, but in every place, and sometimes they admit, well, there must have been a local flood here. Well, you know, you're saying that a lot all over the world. And the world is not as old as they say it is. And certainly man, listen to me, man has not been on this planet longer than 6,000 years. Now, that gives me hope, and I understand that we can find ourselves in there. We don't have to go back hundreds of millions of years. You know, they say, well, these, you know, men, are, you know, we got cavemen. You know why we got cavemen? Because sometimes people lived in a cave. It doesn't mean they did that for 100 million years. I mean, every once in a while, someone's house got destroyed, and they lived in a cave. And sometimes they're traveling, and they lived in a cave. And sometimes they were there for a while. But listen, none of it's not like you got cavemen, and then you got these men, and you got these people called Neanderthals. Well, they're Neanderthals because they walk like this. Well, they've been looking at those bones a little closer. They're walking like this because they had rickets. Oh, that's the missing, that's the ape man. No, that's just a guy with rickets. We've always been human. In fact, before the flood, they might have been smarter than us. They didn't have the technology we have today, but some of that technology is making us dumber, not smarter. I was walking around before church, and I'll tell you, 8 out of 10 were on their phone. Well, I was too. I was texting during church. All right, I'm guilty. That's how I talk to Kevin. Amen. All right? So I believe it, and it's so encouraged me, and it just made me feel like I'm a part of the story, and it's just so real, and I praise God for that. Let's go to Genesis 6. Now, this is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations, okay? So it's important to understand that. Noah was not a perfect man, but he was a perfect man in his generations. Watch things, I fell again. I don't know what to do with this. Now, this is important to understand. Now, how many know Noah wasn't a perfect man, because as soon as he got off the ark, he got drunk. And he's laying around in his tent, and there's, oh my God, there's all kinds of things going on. I won't even get into that. But, it said Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. And a lot of people think that just means he's laying drunk. Okay. But actually, that's an old idiom, a Jewish idiom. And the Jews, the rabbis will tell you that that can mean that he actually slept with Noah's wife. Well, that got you thinking. To uncover a man's nakedness means to sleep with his wife. So I don't know if that's the story. It does seem to stretch it a little bit. But that would explain why Canaan, who they say was an illegitimate... I wasn't going to get into this. Canaan, who's... said that Canaan then was an illegitimate child. And maybe that's why he got cursed instead of Ham. Anyway. Oh, Lord. A little Peyton place going on there. I don't know. But anyway, when it says perfect in his generations, what that means is that his DNA had not been affected. Remember in the book of Genesis, it says that Eve's seed, which eventually is Jesus, but Eve's seed will fight Satan's seed. Now, on the one hand, we take Eve's seed as literal. She had generations. Noah is in that generation, and he's pure in the... He did not have any fallen angel DNA in his generations. That's what it's saying. Are you following me? Well, then, don't we also take literally that Satan has seed? And he does, and they're called the giants. And there's even giants after the flood, so somehow, we don't know how. Maybe these angels revisited, I don't know. Maybe there's some DNA in these wives that these Noah's sons married. I don't know, but we do see giants, maybe not as big as they were before the flood. Are you following me? But they are, Goliath. And when they say giant, they probably mean anywhere from 8 to 10 feet tall. But before the flood, some theologians think that these giants were really huge. I mean, look at the dinosaurs. Look how big they got. They're just reptiles. I mean, the alligators back then were huge. There were creatures in the sea that could swallow you back then, okay? Hello, Jonah. What you need to understand is the atmosphere was different. I told you last week that the earth was straight up and down on its axis back then before the flood. And that it didn't rain because there was no difference between North and South Pole. We don't have weather patterns. Meteorologists were out of job. There weren't any high winds. There were no storms. It never rained. There was just dew. All the ancient civilizations before the flood, every one of them is on a river. Because they're fed by streams that come out, so you would live on a river because there's no rain, and you have to live off the dew, and you have to live off the river. Okay, are you following me? There are no storms. There are no rains, no winds. That's why we go to the North Pole and the South Pole, and we find jungle vegetation under the ice. How was that pop? Because basically, the earth was the same temperature, north, south, equator. Everything's pretty much the same. Now, the flood hits, and we don't know what caused this. Some say a meteor or many meteors hit the earth. Some say a comet got too close to the earth and tilted it. It doesn't really matter, or we could just say God said, boop. You say, well, we got to believe in the miraculous. You know what? You know what's miraculous is that God was behind it all no matter how it started. And the timing of it and the results of it. And the fact is God said everyone's got to go because their DNA was messed up. That's why we need to be so careful today about these people messing with DNA. By the way, it says all flesh. That meant animals too. And there was something going on with animals. And there was some crossing of DNA there as well, trying to do that now. There's pictures of how they've spliced DNA between, you know, different animals. I don't want to get into examples, but I've seen the pictures and they're really weird. And God says, listen, back in creation, he said he created them after their kind. He doesn't say that once. He says it about a dozen times. After their kind, after their kind, after their kind. We cannot be mixing the kinds. You're messing with the very creation that God made. And it's not going to end well if this keeps up. So Noah walked with God. He had three sons. The earth was corrupt before God. The earth was filled with violence. So God looked upon the earth, and indeed it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. Mm-hmm. God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence. It's mostly about the violence. And behold, I will destroy them. Now, you know, we know a flood came, but it said, I'll destroy them with the earth. Wow. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark, and cover it inside and outside with pitch, which they had back then. I think all of the great constructions like the pyramids, the temples in South America, Central America, Stonehenge, all these were done before the flood. And maybe they had the help of guys that were really big and strong. I saw a picture, I didn't have it for you, where they had, of a quarry where they were getting these stones to build these monuments. Some of these were several hundred tons. They didn't have any cranes. There was one rock that was 10,000 tons already quarried, is cut, smoothed out, ready to be moved. And they didn't get around to it. I guess the flood hit. That's 20,000 pounds. Scientists cannot figure out how they did it. Yeah, the pyramid, they got some, you know, they built ramps and I don't know. Still, you got to get it up there. So we don't know how they built all these things, but they had technology apparently that we didn't know about. My God, my God. I want to get into so much here. Are you okay out there? Okay? Are you really okay? All right. I got so much I want to share, but I don't have time. So so the giants are a problem. Again, we see them later. And the sons of God, which is, some people say, well, that's righteous people. Well, that doesn't make any sense, because why would that be a problem? Well, the sons of God, and there's about 12 different times the Bible talks about sons of God, and it's always referring to angelic fallen beings. Okay? They are sons of God because God made them. But they're somehow, and we have examples of angels taking on human form, right? And apparently they're able to sleep with women. The Bible says they took wives, but the word wife is not, doesn't necessarily have to be the translation. It's basically just they took women. So it wasn't just about marrying them. I think they just took whoever they wanted to take. So we see this. So let me get to this. So let's get to this picture. They feel like they have found the ark. That really helps us. This is in Turkey. This is on the Mount Ararat. It's not at the very top because it has slid down some over the years. It is covered. It is completely covered in ice. But they've been able to chip through it and get inside this. But tell me, does this not look like a boat? It is the exact length, I think it's 500 cubits from stern to bow. You know when a sailor messes that up. It's time to call it in, man. That's... And the width is exactly the dimension it says in the Bible. So this is the exact dimensions of the ark. When they got inside, it has three levels, which is what God said. When they get inside, they have been able to find. Now it's kind of a wreck. It's kind of pushed out a little bit because it fell. But when you put it together, it's the exact dimensions. But there's rooms inside. There's evidence of animal waste inside. And people say, "Well, you don't know that it's Noah's Ark." There's a boat. 14,000 feet above sea level. That's where I would be to build a boat. It's about, I think they said, 2,000 or 3,000 feet above the tree line. So they would have to cut trees and haul them up a mountain and build a boat that they can't get to the sea. Obviously, it floated there. It stopped there. You could say, "We don't know it's Noah." You could say whatever you want, but there's a boat there. The exact dimensions that it says in the Bible. In the very location it said it would land. Read your Bible. It's exactly there. And people have known about this for centuries. There are times we kind of lose the information and so forth. But I forget the name of them, but there is a tribe that lives at the base of the mountain. And they, their culture is that they are the guardians of the ark. And they trace their ancestry back all the way back to Noah, they say, right? And these are not Christian people. These people believed this before Jesus. They're not Jews. But they are, I don't know what they are now, Muslims probably. But they believe that what's above them is Noah's Ark. And they actually burn their campfires with the pitch that they're scraping off the Ark. It burns really well. Gosh. Isn't this crazy? The Ark is near the ancient Silk Road between Europe and Asia. I don't know if you know about the Silk Roads, the exchange between China. Even the Romans kind of knew about it a bit. But it's near here. It's not right here, but it's very close. And so anyway, there's so many connections here. But this just blesses me to know Noah was here. When you look at animals and where they are concentrated, it makes sense that they came from a central place. And that central place is here. When you look at populations, they did move a bit south where Babel is, right? In that area, Babel wasn't the only city, by the way, but in that area, when you look at populations, it looks like it came from there and went out. Scientists, they won't admit the Bible's true, but some of them don't even know about the Bible, so they're stumbling on the truth unawares. And they say, "Yeah, well, it seems like people and language," and then there are people who study languages, and they feel like the original languages were in this area, and they spread out. And most of the time, they see it spreading out in three different directions. How many sons did Noah have? So they kind of see a group headed toward Egypt and then south. And then you have another group that heads into Turkey and then into Europe and the Mediterranean. And then you have another group that heads into India and China. Hello. Three guys, three wives, three different sets of DNA, three races. By the way, please understand, the Bible does not recognize three races. It does not. When the Bible says race, it's talking about tribes, nations. Okay? So nowadays, if the Bible was written, every nation of people would be a race. But there's no such thing as race based on color in the Bible. Can I get an amen? Ridiculous. It's just not there. So, talking about DNA, if we have this picture, this is kind of interesting. This is the DNA helix. And where it comes from, it's really, well, where this, does anyone recognize this? I always wondered why it was two snakes. Until I saw that it's same as the DNA helix. Kind of similar, right? Now, I'm not saying all doctors are of the devil, please. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying medicine's bad. I'm just saying that's where the DNA will be corrupted from the medical community. That's And I don't know that anyone can really understand why they take two snakes, twist it like that, to represent the medical thing, but we need to be very careful in these last days. We're headed to some trouble. Can I get an amen? Now, I think I already mentioned, we can go back to the ark if you want to, but I think I mentioned we don't know what originally caused the flood. We can't be sure about that, but we see the evidence all over the world. The Earth's axis tipped like this, and it caused the Earth to shake. I mean, it cracked, and it broke the crust. You need to understand, even today, there's more water under North America than all the water in the oceans right now. It's not all in water form. Some of it's so compressed by gravity that it's not lava, but it's so compressed that it's thicker than a soup. It's more like a gel. And then as it comes up, it thaws. And even today, all over the world, right, we have streams. The name of our little community here is Spring Mill because there was a spring here in this area, and people gathered around it for water. Hello. Amen. We sometimes have problems over here with this exit because there's some kind of water, some kind of stream under it. But those waters come from deep within. So when people say there's no way you can flood the whole planet with if it rained 40 days and 40 nights, first of all, there's not that much water in the atmosphere all over the world. It's just not possible. So the scientists, they just go, because scientists always judge the past thinking that things have always been the way they are now. But things were different then. And the reason it was, you could have rain, and I mean torrential rain, day and night, for 40 days and 40 nights, is because of all the water that's being pushed up into the atmosphere. Why would that cause it? Are you okay with some science here? The reason, what time is it? Oh, I got 2 minutes, Lord. Well, that ain't gonna happen. When the earth cracked, all that hot, I mean boiling, all that water comes up to the top. They said the oceans were so warm, it was like bath water. You could literally bathe in the oceans. That's how hot it was. It wasn't boiling, but it was hot. Now, what does that cause? Evaporation. Massive amounts of evaporation is going on, and that's what causes the rain come down like it was coming down. By the way, that explains the ice age. Scientists really, if they're honest, and sometimes they are, they really don't understand ice ages. Here's why. It takes a lot of snow to create a glacier. And it has to happen pretty fast. You got a lot of snow packing down, year after year. You get all this snow, and it packs into a glacier. And you got to have cold temperatures. Everyone say, duh. When I say cold temperatures, I mean it cannot warm in the summer. So you got to have below freezing all four seasons. And a lot of snow. Now, I'm from Minnesota, and I'm telling you, when it gets really cold, it usually doesn't snow. It doesn't snow because it's too cold. There's no moisture in the air. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Now, it can, but it's rare. When it's below zero, you're not going to see a lot of snow. The air is just too dry. So here we got cold air, but we got warm oceans. Ah. So lake effect. That's good. Ocean effect. So what you're getting is you're getting these really warm oceans. The temperature outside is really cold, but you got these really warm oceans pushing up. And by the way, it is warmer around the equator now because... So it's pushing all this up into the air and over the oceans, and then it blows, because we have wind now, and it blows across to North America, and Ohio is part of a glacier. In fact, we're the end of the glacier. It came as far south as Ohio. Mansfield was probably under a glacier. Okay? So that explains the snowfall. When it's too cold, but yet it's warm, you got warm oceans, cold air. And you got, I didn't even think about that, lake effect. That's great. So, if you know a good scientist, let him know that your pastor has solved the problem of the ice age. Then call me and I'll fill him in on the details. But besides all the rain, the real problem was the water from beneath. And it's coming up. It's gush. It's breaking out. It's coming up. I mean, there's tsunamis on dry land. I mean, there's volcanic activity, so the sky's getting dark. And there's earthquakes. I said at least 100-foot tsunamis over the ocean. Whew, I mean, poor Noah. Can you imagine the sound? Can you imagine the waves? Can you imagine the darkness, the rain? How scary was it to be in the ark? Not as scary as the rest of them, but... And when we find these homes and so forth that are buried under all this silt, all this from the water, you know, when water comes in, how many know it leaves deposits behind, right? And so we see all this stuff buried, and we dig down deep, and we find these homes, and they're in their homes, and I think they had never seen rain before, and it's just starting to become cataclysmic, so they're running to their homes. They think that's the safest place. So we see a lot of these archaeological digs where people, the whole families and their servants and everyone, they're all huddled in their house, and they're suddenly buried. Let me talk about mammoths. How many know what a mammoth is? Not something you have as a pet. A mammoth from the elephant family. They find them in Siberia, right? And it's interesting because mammoths eat a lot of grass. So there was a lot of grass in Siberia before the flood. But here's the interesting thing. They have found a lot of them. And it seems like they died quickly. Quickly. There are so many. Let me tell you this. Some people think our only source of ivory is from poaching elephants. No. Probably 80% of the ivory that we have in the world today came from mammoth tusks in Siberia. So there's a lot of them there. They didn't start finding them till about 1890, and they began to find them, and some of the sled dog guys would find these mammoths, and they would cut a piece of the meat out and thaw it out, and it was fresh. Now, they didn't eat it. I mean, it is a few thousand years old. So it's not the kind of thing. How many know if something's frozen, it's not going to hurt you to eat it probably, but all the vitamins and nutrients are gone. But they would feed it to their sled dogs. So they're eating mammoth. The mammoths were supposed to be dead 100 million years ago. I don't think so. The meat, there was still meat on the bone. Dinosaurs. Scientists don't know what to do about this except hush, hush. But there have been, I think, at least three or four examples now of they found a dinosaur and they found tissue in the bones. Tissue doesn't last more than a few thousand years, if that. That's pushing it. What you have to have is sudden burial so that there's no exposure to air. Right? These mammoths were found. No animal had eaten on the carcass. In fact, some of the mammoths were found standing up. Most of them have their last meal in their stomach. Some of them were standing up with grass in their mouth, frozen. When the earth tilted away from the sun, suddenly it got really cold, really fast. And these mammoths were frozen in their... Isn't that something? Going back to these people found in their homes, a lot of them were found in this position. Doesn't that look like somebody who was drowning and then was buried? I don't know about you, but I don't walk around the house like. I mean, I have my moments, but I don't. Hello? So they're suddenly drowned and then buried, and there they are. Wow. Wow. So is this not proof that the freezing happened very fast? It's proof that everywhere in the world experienced a sudden flood that absolutely buried them. Scientists will tell you they still don't know how mountains are formed. But so much water was coming up. I mean, the water's heavy. And there's water shooting up. All the continents are one. It's shooting up. It starts dumping then into... what there is of the Atlantic Ocean, and it begins to push the continents apart. And that's why you have mountain ranges in Western Africa, and you have mountain ranges in Western United States all the way down to Antarctica, the Rocky Mountains, because it pushed. Remember I said last week it's like pushing a rug, and it folds. And then those are called Rocky Mountains. Rocky Mountains are hundreds of millions years old. Do these people never hear of erosion? No mountain can last 100 million years. It will erode. It will be a flat plain. But yet they go, I don't know. Maybe they're newer than we thought. Yeah, they're real new. And that's how the Appalachians are pushed or formed as well. Is that okay? Is that interesting? One of the studies they did trying to figure out about the glaciers is they measured Niagara Falls. How many of you have been to Niagara Falls? How many know that it's eroding away the rock, and it over the years it keeps moving, right? So they know, they absolutely know where it started. So they can measure how far it has eroded. And they look at how much water is going over the falls right now, as if that's how much has always been going over the falls. And they don't like the answer, because it's only about 10,000 years. But here's the thing. How many know there was a lot more water going over Niagara Falls at the beginning when the flood, when the ice age finally began to melt? It just, I mean, we have not just the ice age, but all the receding waters after the flood coming off. I mean, Nebraska, all of central United States was one big lake after the flood. And then it begins to come. And that's how the Grand Canyon was formed, because that one of those lakes broke and began to flood. And Grand Canyon was probably formed in a week, maybe a day, not millions and millions of years. That little stream has been going for millions of years. I don't think so. When you look at the Grand Canyon, have you seen it? Straight layers upon layers. Isn't it strange that if it's millions of years old, that those layers stayed straight all those years, and then another layer stayed straight, and then another layer? No, the flood did that. The flood, and then the flood cut that out. I see things in my backyard, and I'm thinking, the flood did this. Made sense to me. I don't know. It wasn't that long ago. Hello? All right. Praise the Lord. I know I got to let you go. So the ice age is explained by all this. Here's an interesting note. How many know how old trees live? The oldest trees in the world are in California. They're estimated to be 4,500 years old. That would put it exactly after the flood. And there's no flea either. The fleas were on the ark, apparently. The flood would have wiped out trees. There are seeds floating. And by the way, animals are moving around because of these. And they saw this after Mount St. Helens, that there would be mats of vegetation and thick enough for elephants to ride on. And these mats of vegetation would move around, and eventually they would have animals on them after the dispersion from Noah. And that's how things moved. That's how things got going. And the world quickly repopulated their population. Isn't that amazing? Amen. All right, I was going to get into Babel a little bit, but I guess we don't have time. I will say this, though, that there is quite a bit of evidence that Nimrod, the mighty hunter, this is the mighty hunter before the Lord. This is not long after the flood. The mighty hunter before the Lord, that word better translated against the Lord. And we think now that Nimrod was probably a giant. And he's heading this up, and he's the source of Tower of Babel. Let me just close with that. I won't get into any more about the dispersion. But watch this. They said, we need to make sure that we're not so scattered all over the earth that we don't have a name. We want a name for ourselves. Come on, it's important that everyone leaves their name. And God said, we need to come down and check on this, because if we let them continue, there won't be anything they can't do. They're building a tower to heaven. And I don't know, you know, as a little Catholic boy growing up and all through my years, people said, yeah, they're trying to build a tower so high they thought they could reach heaven. No, it wasn't about the height of the tower. It was the purpose of the tower. The purpose of the tower was not to physically reach heaven. But, and we see this in all religions, even the Jewish religion, and really even in Christianity, whenever they build a church, they build it on a hill. We're called the church on a hill. It's just something about our psyche that says, if you're going to build a church, build it on a high place, closer to heaven. Apparently, what's going on with Nimrod and the tower is that there's some kind of sorcery, some kind of magic, some kind of demonic activity. They were trying to connect with the demonic. That's what they were trying to do. And God said, if we let them continue, there won't be anything they won't be able to, because the devil has power. And the devil will give you things. God help us. God said, we can't let them continue like this. We can't let them have this kind of unity. How many know? Listen, one of the most important things about the church is its unity. And you look at the things that upset Jesus and the things that upset the Apostle Paul, it was always when Christians are fussing. It's when there was a lack of unity. Because it's only through unity that we're going to be able to be the people God has called. You'll not be the person God has called you to be if you disassociate with God's people and act like it's just me and Jesus. Oh, I might preach yet. We're seeing this spirit so much. People just come and go when they don't get their way or whatever. I'm not saying everyone who... Careful. But there are so many people that they just want to have their way. They're independent. They're never part of the body. They're just here to prophesy to me. I don't know how many times people said, you don't know what you're talking about. Your prophecy will never come true. Well, just hang around a little bit. Because they have come true. And what God has spoken is the truth. Can I get an amen? The purpose of the tower was to connect with supernatural powers. And God said, we're not going to let that happen. I wonder what he's going to do about today. How many know we're living in a world? Danger. Danger. I mean, we're headed, these really are the last days. And we need to be ready. I'm not sure what I'm going to get into next week, but I think there's going to be some kind of series on the Old Testament prophets. And it's time to revisit the message. It's time to revisit the spirit of prophecy. What this world needs is a voice, an authoritarian Holy Ghost anointed voice from the pulpits of America, not fussing, not being ugly, not trying to control government. I'm not saying any of that, but we need a voice that speaks to our society. We need to say, thus saith the Lord. And we need it now. And we're going to get into that. You don't want to miss this series. Amen. I'm sorry, 50 minutes. Let's stand. If I'm tired, I know you're tired. This is, you might be visiting with us, and believe me, this is a weird kind of way for me to preach. But are you okay with this? I just wanted to give you some idea I want you to be confident when they look at you and like you're stupid or you're ignorant or you're just a holy roller or whatever their opinion is. You're so ignorant that you don't believe in science and you believe in the Bible. No, they're the ones that are in left field. And like I said, I could teach a college course on this. I could literally go for hours and talk about the evidence of the flood. It's all around us. And they deny it, and they deny it, and they have to deny it. They can't even abandon their own theories because they have nowhere to go. If they abandon their theory, if they don't keep standing behind their theory, they have no choice but believe the Bible. It's the only theory left. It's the only one that makes sense. It's the only other theory. So they can't abandon it. They can't walk away from it. No matter what, they have to keep explaining it and explaining it and hope that they'll find that connection between man and monkey. God, I still can't get over the rickets thing. That's so ridiculous. God. Oh, God is good. All the time. Hallelujah.